10 on 104.
Senior Focus. Kia ora, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, and I have in the studio with me Alex Bonham, and we're co-presenting this session today. And we are talking to Fire Pandora Hawke, and I'm going to let Alex introduce her.
Hello, I'm Alex Bonham. Pandora, now can you tell us your area affiliations?
Oh, kia ora. Sure. So, he uri aho no te ati hau nui a paparangi, no ngā rauru, no Ngāti Tama, no Ngāti Porou, no te mautere o Kuki Airini, anō hoki, ko Manaia, te motu. So, I affiliate to the East Coast, Ngāti Porou, and the West Coast. Whanganui River and Taranaki, the northern tribe of Ngāti Tama and the southern tribe of Ngā Rauru. And also I affiliate to the Cook Islands, the Mangaia of the island.
Oh, that's so cool. And you're an honorary Ngāti Whātua as well, eh?
Kia ora, yes I am. I'm married to Nick Hawke. And we have four beautiful children and live up here on ancestral Māori lands in Ōrākei.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us today. We want to talk a little bit about Matariki. And I was just wondering, for people who did not grow up with Matariki, can you tell us briefly what the festival is about?
Okay, so, well, to be fair, I didn't grow up with Matariki either. It's something that's been introduced along with as our culture is growing more and more with our reo and our kapahaka, we're getting deeper into and also there's a need as well to bring about this knowledge which is uniquely us in Aotearoa. So it actually, when it's come out Matariki this time of year, our new year, which begins in June, when Matariki, also known as the ladies around the world, Subaru, if you're in Japan. So Matariki, when it comes into view for us here in Aotearoa, that there are a lot of tohu, there are a lot of signs for us, depending on the clarity and how bright the stars shine. And learning about each of the stars, for me, everything started to click into place. Growing up in Whanganui with my grandparents, who had great big huge gardens, massive gardens. We lived in a quarter acre, good old quarter acre section. And for half of the section was gardens, and that's just the way it was for the old people. And planting and growing happened at certain phases of the moon, and I'm quite aware that my grandparents knew and had all of that wisdom, and I reaped the rewards of all of the beautiful kai, the fruit trees, amazing. We had apples, oranges, peaches of every type, black boy peaches, apricots, lemons, all the citrus trees. We had, you know, all the grapes and berries, and in the gardens we had everything, kumara, potatoes, corn. Nan's garden was cabbage, lettuce, you know, tomatoes, strawberries. We had everything. We were not very rich monetary-wise, but that didn't matter when you had a whole big garden and Māori bread baking in the oven every day in a big old camp oven. And we had so much kai. We used to give it away.
Kai is a big part of the Matariki celebration, isn't it, eh?
Kia ora. It is.
But so yes, when you were growing up, I guess you weren't thinking about Matariki celebrations, but you had the food. You were probably still doing a lot of the things that might happen in Matariki, the bringing people together, celebrating food, sharing stories with family?
Well, to be honest, we didn't have that.
Right.
But we did have resilience. We did have kai. We did have rongoa. We had my nan knew a lot about, you know, the native trees and rongoa, what to do if I'd cut my finger, you know,
yeah,
where to go. And cobwebs was one of our medicines as well. So
cobwebs?
Cobweb, yes. That's amazing. Like, I really needed stitches in this cut. I've still got the scar on my little finger. And she took me out the back to the woodshed and the corrugated iron where all the cobwebs were, and just started putting all the cobweb directly on there, and the bleeding stopped. It was amazing. But
oh, wow.
It's all about, for us, well-being. Kai, back in the day, was, you know, in different seasons, was scarce. So a lot of the kai was stored and preserved. And so living by the moon, the Maramataka was very, very important for our people as observers of nature. When to go and gather, when to plant, when not to plant, when to go on the sea, when not to go on the sea, when certain fish ran. But, you know, looking at Matariki, as Rere Atamakiha says, is a wonderful master of mahita tohunga of Matariki and Te Rangi Mātāmua, as well as Ricky Solomon, the three of those names, those three men are amazing. They slot everything in. Their kōrero helped everything slot into place for me. Just understanding what we did, why we did, when we did, and what it was for.
So
it was for well-being.
So just so that I can understand a bit more, and maybe the listeners too, these three people, are they experts at Maramataka?
And Matariki.
And Matariki. Right, right, right.
Yes, these three people, these three men are... their names are becoming more known nowadays. So Rere Atamakiha, my husband knew back in the day when he worked at TVNZ, he knew him. They both worked together. Rereata grew up north, Hokianga man, with his grandparents and his dad, and that knowledge. We're very, very fortunate and very privileged to hear the knowledge shared by his ancestors to him. So he's sharing a lot to Aotearoa. Rangi Mātāmua, another one, grew up with his grandparents and his parents and all of his knowledge as well. They're generously sharing. And also Ricky Solomon. Ricky Solomon's kōrero really synonymous with me in terms of well-being. So, you know, we have the Māori holistic health model, Whare Tatawha, which is Mason Jury's work. And that talks about the four walls of the whare. And the four walls represent the whānau, your body, its health, your mind and its health, and your spirit, the wairua. And if one of those walls aren't strong, the whole house will fall over. So they're all interdependent on each other to be standing and to be strong and well. And that's the way it works for Māori. We need our whānau to be well. We rely on good kai to keep us well. and we're, you know, in tune as well as interconnected with nature for that. Our kai comes from, you know, the environment, which those stars represent. So we have Waiti Waita, the rivers and the sea. We have Waipuna Arangi, the beautiful pool of water that comes from the sky. And then we have Ururangi, the wind. And together with the wind and the rain, they make the weather.
Yeah.
And then we have Tipua Nuku, which is Tipu Kai grown from the Nuku, Papatua Nuku, the earth. So Kai grown from the earth and under the earth. So it's root vegetables. And then Tipu Arangi, the Kai that hangs from the trees and the bird life. They're all Kai as well for us. And then we have the two new stars that have been introduced in the last couple of years, Pohutukawa. Pohutukawa represents the memory of all of those who have passed on. And I'm not just talking about people. I'm also talking about ecology in terms of trees and birds that are becoming extinct. The Māori, that life force that everything has, is now the light has been blown out. So when there's no more of that family of the huia bird or certain species of trees, it's gone. Thankfully today we have experts out there restoring and working very hard to stop that as much as we can. But yeah, it all flows together. We're all interconnected. When the land is well, we are well. When the land is sick, we are sick. And that's that holistic Māori health model of Buddy Tapafa once again. So Pohutukawa represents those that have passed from the last time Matariki to this time, to this year. And Hiwa Itarangi, the last star, which is our dreams and desires. And when we see that star shining, all our dreams and desires are realised.
Can I ask about Pohutukawa? How do you commemorate the people that have passed on in the last year? How is that done?
So up here in on Takaparafo, our people up here in Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei have a kohu, umu kohu. So this is the time where we gather and we have opened it to the public to come and join and see how we do it. And how we do it is we have the offerings for the hāngi, which the offerings are kai, and that actually goes up to the gods. When it comes to the Pohutukawa stage, we all call out the names of our loved ones. Well, actually, we have my sister-in-law, Marama, jumps on the mic and she reads all of the ones that have passed away. And so the names are called. Karanga sounded, Tangi is wailing, and we all cry together. And the crying is important. It's a relief. It's part of the processing of the hurt that we feel when we lose our loved ones. So there's a waka in the sky, and that waka has a big net, and the captain of that waka, Taramai Rangi, I think his name is, or Utafaki, I think his name is, he gathers all of our loved ones and takes them to the chest of Rangi Nui, the uma of Rangi Nui, and they are that they become the stars. Or whiturangitia, they become the stars. So for us, it's a poignant moment to remember those who have passed. But also, it's about reflection. A reflection represents looking back at the past, looking to today, the current, the present, as well as forward, kōkiri, which of moving forward, which of looking after our well-being and sustaining our well-being and our world, our environment for our mokopuna. So Ricky Solomon's work actually represents that as well. It's really about living by the maramataka, the phases of the moon. We're coming into the full moon soon in a few days, and that's full energy. Okay, and then you come around to Tangaroa side, which is great for planting and fishing. And the energy is good around there. And then you come down to the bottom, the new moon, which is Fetal. And this is the time where we reflect. He's reintroducing these practices for our youth. As you know, Aotearoa have really shocking statistics for our men, Māori and Pacifica, who pass away, who commit suicide. So Ricky has dedicated his mahi to working with our youth and bringing the practices of reflection, of looking back, what happened, you know, and letting go. What don't I need anymore? What's got no more use for me? And what has happened that's been painful for me? And, you know, and letting those stuff go tangibly through karakia. Of course, we can also celebrate the good things. We always do that very well, but we're not very good at actually processing the things that have hurt us inside, our hinenaro, our wairua, our mind and our spirit. So, yeah, the work that Ricky is doing with our rangatahi is really mahi rangatira, which is very, very important. And it's by Māori for Māori. You know, we need to live by and connect with our environment again, and be paying attention to the seasons and the moon, the lunar phases, and attuning in our bodies back to those ways. I mean, that's why the way we used to live. And it, you know, it's very much needed in our world presently, again, for our people, for our Indigenous Māori. We need, we need to be looking to those ways again to be Māori ora, which is to flourish, yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people who are not Māori would also agree with a lot of those sentiments about being connected and flourishing, and
I agree. Yes, Yora.
So if you don't whakapapa Māori, how do you get involved in Matariki? How can you join in with the celebrations?
Yes, well, so you know, it was just like me. I mean, I may have been raised with my Māori grandparents, but they always spoke English to me because, sadly, they didn't feel there was anything for Māori for us anymore. You know, my grandparents were strapped for speaking Māori. They didn't want that for me. They wanted me to be able to keep my head up and walk in our Western world and survive. And, you know, as much as I tried to do that, it was when I had my first son and I went to Kohanga and I heard my language again when something came out the bottom of my stomach. I wept. I cried. So it was like I found something that was missing. Now, I had to go out there and find it. I became a teacher. I went from, the IT industry, which was very boring and mundane, that job, into teaching tamariki, where I found the passion for my language, my culture, and so it's really about getting out there and joining and jumping online and watching Māori television and, even Googling.
I've been doing a bit of Googling. Does Matariki look like for the children in the Kohanga?
Oh, it's beautiful. There's 100 ways to celebrate Matariki. But up here, we used to have a little kura called Te Kura a Iwi. My cousin, Nahui a Hawk, was the tumuaki and the kaiako and the cook and the cleaner. And she used to take our kids down to our urupa, which is down the bottom here in Ōkahu Bay. And they would write messages to our tupuna and they would talk to them and they'd leave a lovely little picture, and put a painted rock on top of it and leave it at the grave of their tupuna. And for me that was just like, oh my God, that's so beautiful because, we had a playground there as well. Where our tamariki always go down and play in the beautiful playground in Ōkahu Bay, but now they actually stop at the urupa first and pay their respects, because Auntie Nahui was like, now you kids, before you go to that playground, always say kia ora to your tupuna first. And that respect, for our urupa, I think is really important. It's a very ancient, it's one of the only things down there left of our old pa, Te Puru or Tamaki. It's a special place down there.
Yeah.
Kia ora.
Oh, that's very special, thank you. I have been Googling, Pandy, and I know that the Matariki celebrations for Auckland and around the country, but I've been particularly looking at Auckland. They're getting richer and richer every year. I think there's the beautiful lights down Queen Street. I think Viaduct Harbour has been lit up. Elliot Street has lights. I think Ngāti Whātua are hosting an early morning ceremony on the 28th of June at 5:30 a.m. I think that's right.
That's right.
And there's a cultural celebration at Kew Theatre, the Mahuta performance, I think.
Wow.
And there's a few performances of that. And then there's Kite Day on the 6th of July, which sounds really fun and doesn't require such an early start, I think, for some people. So the viaduct lights were described as ahika. Can you briefly explain what that means?
Ahika. Ahi is fire. Ka is ignite. So the home fire burning. The home fires are kept burning. So Ngāti Whātua, my husband's people, Ngāti Whātua ki Ōrākei, has kept the home fires burning here for hundreds of years. Yeah, so they're still here. Kaitiaki of their land,
Thank you. There's also a beautiful modern version, perhaps, of the ceremony you described. Not quite the same, but there's a lighting display outside the town hall and people can give the names of their loved ones and they'll be reflected on the town hall over Matariki weekend, I think.
Lovely. Yeah.
So, and there's a street party on Karangahape Road on Thursday the 27th of June. And I think it's just, thank you so much for joining us, Pandy. There are so many things, and as you say, we should have a look, see what's out there, because there's certainly lots going on.
There's a lot going on in your own communities as well as everywhere in Tamaki, in Aotearoa now. It's very exciting. It's almost a headache. Where am I going to go? Which one am I going to go to? Because there's so much to choose from, but it's a very, very busy time for us as Māori. I'm going to be up here on the 28th of June on Takaparawhau with the Iron Aunties. We do Iron Māori. We call ourselves the Iron Aunties. We're going to be making the soup and the breakfast, helping with the breakfast that morning. So I'll be up at 3:30 in the morning preparing all of that. There's so much going on. For a lot of Māori, we're going to be very busy. But it's our new year, Te Mātahi o Te Tau. So, Matariki Hunga Nui, which means Matariki, the gathering of people. It's very exciting. It just builds up more and more each year. So, The very first umikohu we ran, I think there were 700 people that came. Last year there was 1,000, and so this year is probably going to be around about 1,300.
It is getting bigger and bigger. The Iron Man. Is that the Iron Ladies Iron Man? It's a competition.
Yes, Iron Māori, every year in Napier.
Yes, so you go all the way down to Napier.
We do, yes. We've been going for the last 5 years, the Iron Aunties. We're over 40. I think the oldest is in her 70s.
Oh, my goodness. Well, good luck. I hope you absolutely storm it down in Napier. and just a final question, with Hiwa Itarangi and thinking about aspirations for the coming year, is that a bit like New Year's resolutions that we might have?
Actually, very similar, yes. I would say so, most definitely. It is. It's always really important to have goals to work towards. For Māori, we are always up together. You know, we don't... Not one person just shoots up to the to the stars. We take our whole family with us. So it's all about the great crops that we could grow back in the day. But nowadays, it's all about your future, future generations. What can we do to give back? How can we give back? For people, for us, it's about the world, about Papatūānuku, and giving back to planting trees and cleaning our beaches and preparing our environment to be healthy for our future generations.
Oh, Pandi, I think that's brilliant. We have to come to a close, but thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you so much. And such rich kōrero, I really just resonated with it so beautifully. So thank you. And next week we will continue with the interesting topics again. And thank you for coming in, Alex.
Thank you. Bye.
Kakite.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.
Radio